through the dark until his emotion upon the mountain. He was gone 40 days and 40 nights. Wonderful revelations from God. And while he was gone, the children of Israel, they complained. They said, "Oh, Aaron, we wish not what has become of this man Moses." Now they said, "Aaron, make us God to lead us in this wilderness. This man Moses, he's been gone 40 days, or has yet been gone 40 days, and so make us gods." And Aaron said, "Okay, everybody take your necklaces and take your bracelets and take your earrings." I was over in India, I was very much interested in the jewelry. A good woman, she had on, she had diamond ears here. Actually, ears were pierced. And they were ear screws, or they were through there entirely. And one here. And this in the nose would be pierced also, and a diamond just like the earring here on the side of the nose. Pierced through and screwed in fashion. Or it would sometimes be on the other side. And sometimes it would be a ring, 2 inches across and through the side of the nose. One schoolgirl had such a golden ring through her nose. Through one side, not down here like in Africa, but through one side always. And she had here, and probably it was disconcerted. I guess she wants to blow his nose or sneeze or something, and so at any rate, to keep it out of the way, she had put a rubber band on this earring, fastened in this nose, and looped it over her ear here, and held that to one side. And then, did all of them in India, nationals, did all of them wear sandals, some go barefooted. And I mean nicely dressed, beautifully dressed women. And they have rings on their toes. They have rings. I often have 2 or 3 great silver rings on their foot. And I don't know what the ring, I don't know which one means anything like that. But now then, the old Aaron says, "Take off your jewelry and bring it to me." And Aaron, made a mold and put in the golden ring, the golden calf. And then he graved with the graving tools and outlined the eyes and fixed the hair and so, and nostrils. And I said, and says, "He's my God, so is hell." Him upon the mountain, God said, "Moses, you better get down. These people have corrupted themselves and they made them idols and so." And so Moses came down the mountain. And Joshua was with him now. And Joshua said, "Listen to the noise. Hey, there's a war going on. Hear that? Hear that noise?" No, Moses said, "No, but by all shouting and drunken hollering, that's not war. That's people that are drunk and having a big time, revelry." And he came down and he found the people of Israel. They sat down to eat and rose up to play and took off their clothes and danced naked in idolatry and drunkenness around the golden camp. Now in Exodus 32 and again in verse 26. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp, this is verse 25. When Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked under their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, and every man sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and see every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor." And the children of Levi did according to the words of Moses, and they fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Now, I'm speaking on this text. Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. The first thing that strikes me, and I was so greatly impressed with it the other day when I preached on this in India, the first thing that strikes me is that this people must be an awful bad, wicked, sorry people. It's been less than 40 days. Jesus delivered the place in Egypt. These people did great signs and wonders. And the death of the firstborn of all the others, but theirs was spared. And God gave them faith in the sight of the Egyptians, and they asked and cared not gold and silver and gems and riches. And then the Red Sea opened and went through. And the pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day, and then the manna from heaven. And now it's out here. And in a month's time, they went into idolatry and drunkenness and took off their clothes and in lewdness and nakedness danced around the golden calf. Demas and the mighty Sardis people. All right, now this is the thing, first of all. We are a fallen race of people. We are an accursed, black-hearted, naturally tainted, alienated from God race of people. We're a terrible, sinful race of people. Oh, so the Lord said, can the Ethiopian change his spots? Can the leper change his skin? Neither can ye that are accustomed to do evil turn and do good. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperate and wicked. You listen to me, all you preachers, all you Sunday school teachers, you parents that are going to teach your children, well, you better begin. You better get on the sin question. My wife went one day to talk to a lost woman, and she pleaded, and she did her best. And the lost woman was scornful and hardened. And after an hour or two, my wife came back and said, I failed. She didn't listen. She said, where should I begin with a woman like that? I said, you ought to begin on the sin question. That's where God always begins. That's where Jesus began with that woman at the well of Samaria. He said, go call your husband. And she said, I don't have any husband. And she said, I know you've been married 5 times. You're living in sin, and right now you're not married to. And she said, good night, I perceive you're a prophet, and I better start an argument. And so on. Now, let me tell you, one thing that the whole gospel is based on is this fact. We are a fallen, wicked, hellish race of people who have to go to hell, and by nature alienated from God. Don't you think it's a terrible thing to speak after all those blessings that in a month's time return to drunkenness and idolatry and nudity and rival laughter and drunken shouting and all kinds of wickedness like a whorehouse and like a wild drunken orgy here that dance around that wicked death? Don't you think that's pretty bad? The reason that's bad is because your heart's bad and everybody else's heart's bad by nature. That's right. That's right. Sometimes I hear people say, oh, Brother Rice, isn't it getting bad? It's crazy. It's been bad all the time. And someone says, oh, Brother Rice, in the last days the devil's getting angry. It's been that long time. I've never known him to be in good humor. And you say that people's hearts are hard. They're not only hard, they're dead. They're blinded by sin and dead and trespassing in sin. They're children of hell. That's what Jesus said. They're children of wrath. That's what the Bible said. They're children of disobedience. That's what the Bible said. He said, you are of your father the devil. His works ye will do. Now, I'm just saying. You say, well, things are bad. They're not bad because of age. They're bad because of the wicked heart of man ever since the Garden of Eden was broken up. Ever since men disobeyed God. Ever since the first Adam began to have gray hair. And Eve got up and said, I've got a headache. Adam said, I'm tired tonight. And then all the troubles I've seen from that time to this, man is a wicked, fallen creature by nature fitted for hell. Now, if you don't know that, you're not fit to preach. No, I'm not joking. If you don't know that, you don't know how to start preach the gospel. You say, well, it must be in the last days things are bad. You've been just swallowing a lot of this humanism that man's climbing upward in his heart and stumbling toward God and there's some goodness in the worst of us and so on. You've been hearing a lot of the devil's malarkey and you've been taken in by sitting back studying your Bible. The plain truth is man by nature, every child ever born is by nature a wicked sinner. You say, a little baby, oh, isn't he innocent and sweet? He is sweet, but he's not innocent. He is the devil by nature. He won't be 4 weeks old in his line. He finds out that when he hollers his mother, come. And so after a while, he said, well, she came in, I hollered, and she came. This time, my tummy was hurting, and I hollered, and she came. All right, so he gets loose and says, hey, I'm dying! Something's sticking me! I'm hurting bad! And he just yells, the mother picks him up, and it's over again. It's all right, yeah. He was lying about all kinds. Now listen. You see, the first child ever born, he didn't go to the pool room. The first child ever born, it wasn't the bad kids in the neighborhood. The first child ever born, it wasn't the neighbors running him. The first child ever born turned out to be a murderer. You know why? Because that's the kind of people we are. That in Romans 3rd chapter, the Bible gives 14 indictments of the whole human race. There's none righteous, no, not one. Every government gone astray. There is none that knows, no, not one. All together become unprofitable, and so on. And then the scripture goes on to say,
that we are not to shed blood.
That's by nature. You see, I didn't shed anybody. Yeah, you're supposed to get caught. You didn't need them to. You have it in you, all right. He hates his father's a murderer. Well, you say, I'm no adulterer. If you ever looked on a woman to lust after her, you are. If you're a woman and you went to picture show, you saw Clark Gable and some other a woman with a sarong on, rag around the middle, not very high at the top, not very low at the bottom, and palm trees swaying and lolling on the beach and looking interested, and you wish you were in that woman. Boy, wouldn't be wonderful. Clark Gable. And you're a harlot prostitute in your heart. Yeah. Yeah. And what you see is what Jesus sees. Listen to me, you're doomed to hell, and you ought to be, unless God works a miracle. Unless God has some way to save people who don't deserve saving, you're ruined forever. See that? I'm saying, why do you see politics? That's just natural with them. It's like natural with you. You know why you preachers ought to be plain? You know why dads and fathers and husbands ought to be plain in this matter? Let me tell you. That's the same reason that it won't be the first warm day in June. And a lot of your church member women will be going down to the supermarket with a pair of shorts and a halter on and about 6 inches of her body naked, because by nature she's the same kind of people these are. Dirty, hellish, spoiled, ruined, and damned and tainted by nature, alienated from God. That's why women pull off their clothes. That's why men take so easy to cocktails and beer. That's why your children lie. That's why you want to go to dirty little movies. That's why your children want a pattern after Lena Turner, who lived in sin with several men, and shopping, unmarried, lived with an underworld, a bum, an underworld hoodlum, until her daughter stuck a butcher knife in his stomach and killed him. And now she's still popular. And now you know why that is? Because you by nature have got it in you to run after the lust and drunkenness and lewdness and godlessness. That's the nature of the brute. You're the one I'm talking about. I'm the one I'm talking about. Now, we just want to face it. If there's anything in the world wrong with this people, it's wrong with the whole human race. If everything that God says to Jesus, if anybody doesn't show his power, please. Not long back, but right now, just recent. He had this morning manna that picked up yesterday and manna for the day. Now they make this golden calf and they sit down and drink and get drunk and pull off their clothes and they hug and fight and laugh and play and romp and yell and around that idol and say, these are our gods that brought us out of the land of Egypt. And they did that. They're human beings. And that means the whole human race is depraved by nature. Sometimes you say, oh man, oh this man, I hope he gets saved. He's such a good man. He's not. He's a hell-deserving sinner that ought to be in the fire of hell right now. He may be a very polite sinner. He may be a very educated sinner. He may be a good friend of your sinner. But his heart's black as hell, and he ought to be in hell. He will be unless he gets born again. If you want to get people saved, you've got to find out God's got to work a change that man can't do. That's right. All right, so these are pretty bad people, aren't they? They're bad people because like you and me. I wonder if you're scared of yourself. I wonder if you're scared about yourself. I remember being back young when I was a young fellow, and I was Christian. I had terrible temper. Because I got lots of drive. I got lots of go-getting. I got lots of stuff that would work 18 hours a day to get what I want done. And I had a terrible temper. And I could face this thing one day. I mean, I'd get so angry, I'd see red. I'd get so angry, I'd stagger when I walked. I'd sit down and keep on falling down too mad. And I said one day, if I don't, God doesn't do something about this, I'm going to kill somebody someday. And I sat down and took it to God. God in mercy. I had a good old father. Laser straps and buggy whips haven't anything to do with that kind of thing. Yeah, but, and I take them out of them. I sure had that from God. There's a devil inside. You got it too. You got it too. You can show that way, I show some other way.
It's a tainted race of people. And that's why people need to be saved. Well, don't give anybody to a nice little child. Yes, yes. He said, nice, pure, beautiful woman. Yes. He said, honest man. Yes. Yes, sir. He's got that back heart. He's got this, and he's just like you and I have right there.
That's pretty bad. But that's obvious from this piece.
Nothing. Yeah, Moses said, who's on the Lord's side? He didn't come to me. Who's on the Lord's side? He said, come to me. All right. That means this. If you're on God's side, I want you to say so. Now, somebody says, I don't believe in talking my religion. That's not a matter of being me and God. And you have got to buy the kind. Bible says you're supposed to talk. Yeah? Bible says you're supposed to talk. Well, you say, I believe in just living it. I don't believe in talking all the time or something because they're living it. But living it is talking it. That's part of the vision. That's what the Lord said to do. If you're on the Lord's side, come right over here and stand on this side. This man, Dr. Schaefer, years ago wrote a book, Quit Evangelism, so-called. Background of his death. Dr. Schaefer himself tried to be an evangelist. He didn't succeed. He didn't pay the price. He didn't stand enough. He came up with his brethren doctrine and gathering around the world and Bible teaching and no cracking down on sin. He couldn't have revival. So he turned against R.H.R.A. He turned against C. Wilbur Chapman and some others and against C.L. Moody. He wrote a book. And in this book he said, that's the only place for an evangelist in a foreign heathen country. No place in here. You see, the evangelists themselves are a false, well, I'm getting exact quotation, a false force in evangelism. He said to give a public invitation to ask anybody to stand up or come forward and take any other move as an evidence of salvation. He said that could work instead of grace. He said the reason preachers do that, evangelists do that, he said, to get money out of people. That's a wicked book. First printed Sunday School Times, and then they kind of went broke on it, and then Moody Institute took it out. And a bunch of us spoke to Moody Institute, and they didn't want to do it. They felt like they went busted on the thing, and they turned it over then to Van Camper. But Van Camper did go busted on the thing, and so they turned over to the Truth Publishers. And now that man's died. I'm just saying that the idea that you don't need to make a public profession, that's of the devil, it's not of God. And nobody has a right to say, now, you trust the Lord in your heart, and then you don't need to say anything else. You don't misunderstand me. Salvation is settled in the heart. Up to the mouth, confession is made to salvation. And the Lord did make the confession. That's what he said. That's what he said. The truth of the matter is, that many a time, the confession itself is the act of faith. You know what I'm saying now? Listen. The confession itself is the act of faith that assures the heart and makes certain the faith in the heart. Yes, sir. So the Lord said in Matthew 10:32, whosoever therefore confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. He's saying, Jesus said, now thank you. He sang, Bill and Joanna sang so sweetly the other night, ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend, on whom my hopes of heaven depend. No, not much is my shame, that I no more dear his name. Ashamed of Jesus, soon or far, I will be refreshed to own a star. He sets the light of the light divine in this benighted soul of mine. Ashamed of Jesus, yes, I may, and have no guilt to wash away, no tear to wipe, no good to grieve, no fear to quell, no soul to save. Ashamed of Jesus, I never will be, for Jesus, my Savior, he's not ashamed of me. I tell you right now, if you're on the Lord's side, you don't say so. Yes, sir. That's right. You go out there and win somebody, and I'll get them to claim it openly. This afternoon, a brother and I did joy when he was a boy, 9 years old, for a bright little fella, full of energy, couldn't sit still a minute. He used some scripture, and he's got the old grandmother there, who helped us. He seemed to trust the Lord. And he prayed, God, be merciful to be a sinner and save me for Jesus' sake. And he said, he'd trust Jesus Christ. And I said, that's fine. Isn't that good? Yes. I said, go hug your grandmother's neck. Aren't you glad? Grandmother, yes, yes, ma'am. And he went and hugged his grandmother's neck. And I said, I'm going to shake hands with my brother here and tell him he's glad. And he did.
And I said, now, your pastor, you go to the church with your grandmother down the church of God. All right, you go down and tell your pastor. You trust to Jesus. I said, Christ is your Savior. I said, wouldn't he be glad? The grandmother said, yes, he would. Let me tell you. I'm going to say, I ought to tell it. That's the plan. And that's the secret of happiness. That's a large part of the secret of assurance. That's the secret of your influence. You ought to tell it. Jesus, one time walking down the road, he preached all the time. There was a crowd around him, and a woman said, I'm selling my money. I don't have a doctor. You see your blood, and I'm bowed over, and I'm crippled. Oh, well, dear, I don't know what to do. But she said, there's Jesus. If I could touch the hem of his garment, I'd be very well. I don't want to tell everybody it's not a woman's disease. I don't want to tell everybody that I'd be embarrassed and I don't know what to say. I believe if I slipped up and touched his garment, I believe I'd be well. And so in the crowd, to a woman in the crowd, without a word or cry aloud, just keep down and touch his garment long ago. And this God, in a moment, the issue of blood was stanched and she was healed and her crooked back was straightened and she's well. Jesus said, don't touch me! And Simon Peter said, well, Jesus, you were very much around, all crowding around. No, Jesus said, somebody saved me on purpose. His virtue going out of me. And you think Jesus didn't know who? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he knew. But he said, I'm going to make her tell it. I'm not going to let it be a secret. I'm going to make her tell it. She's got to stand up and tell it. So he said, come on, who touched me? Somebody did. The woman saw she was going to hit. Well, she said, I did. I've been going to the doctor. I've spent all my money all these years. I thought if I could touch your garment. And I did. And I'm well. Even Jesus didn't tell it. That's right. Even like a Gadara. He said, Jesus, this crowd, they don't like me. I've never had the home. They want you to run you off. They want you to run because you got me healed. And hogs, 2,000 hogs committed homicide. He went down the sea place into the sea. And so this man said, you don't care that you want to be Jesus, you let me go with you. No, Jesus, I'll tell you what you do. You go back to your temple, back to your father's house, back to your friends. You tell them what great things God's done for you. Go tell it. God wants people in the saved to tell it. God wants people saved to be baptized. That's not a part of salvation. But don't be so timid about it. It's said in the Bible. I preached in Chicago Christian Jesus Men's Committee. And down the hill in Chicago, I preached there 3 weeks. I went for 1 week, they asked for another, went for another, and asked for another. A lot of people saved. And I preached on the Great Commission, and I put in about baptism, and Brother Billy Hedstrom, a Swedish shoeman, founder of the International Christian Business Committee. And a great man, good soul winner, good friend of mine. And he said to me, Brother John, he said, do you know there's so much division? He's a Swedish preacher. And he said, there's so much division about baptism. He said, do you think you ought to mention, why do you mention baptism? And each year they've got all kinds of ideas. I said, I mentioned it because it's in the Bible. I put that in because Jesus put it in. That it is. Why should I change it? I don't, everybody knows what I believe. I don't go out here to raise trouble. Everybody knows I'm out. I'd rather see one person saved than 10,000 baptized, but people saved 200 times. That's in God's plan. I'll be so timid about what's in the Bible. What I'm saying is, if you're on God's side, say so! Put on the uniform! Get minded! Speak out for God and His people. That's me. Lord said, who's on the Lord's side? Come to me. All right, let's see. Another thing here, he's going to take sides against sin. Who's on the Lord's side? What do you mean? Moses said, you going to see that crowd dance around that golden calf or laundry or God? What do you say? You know, it's not just on the Lord. Everybody loves Jesus. No. Most people hate Jesus. Only try and never use his names and blaspheme and cursing. No, Lord. Either love him or hate him. You know, Jesus, when Jesus was on trial before Pilate said, Jesus or Barabbas, take your choice. Everybody's got your choice. God or the devil. The true religion, the false religion. Over yonder in India, I found one thing I need to bear down all the time. I said, listen, I said that the Christian religion is not one religion. It's the only way to keep out of hell. Because the other religions got teachers, we got a Savior. Other people got man, we got God. I said, somebody said, oh, but Mohammed, someone said he's a good teacher. Need one teacher. And I said, you don't need a teacher. You need somebody to keep you out of hell. He needs somebody to fix the same question. Little teaching won't do that. And when I had to say Jesus, and I said frankly, when you come to take Jesus Christ, you turn your back on Hinduism. I said to you come to take Jesus Christ as Savior, you turn your back on your Passover ceremony and on the other rigmarole against Jewish faith, not the Old Testament faith, but the traditions you picked up. I said, you come to Jesus Christ, you Pharisees were converted, fire worshippers, don't rest in. I said, you turn your back on your fire worship. Yeah, I'm telling you. That means, are you going to be for Jesus or are you against that drunkenness in? Well, some people say, well, there's a controversy. You get a bad case here, you get a sword. You get a chair in this case, then. Moses said, he says on the Lord, so come right over here and get your sword on. Go to it now. And that's not funny. I'm just telling you now, there's something that's cowardly and wicked about people that don't want any controversy. Yes, sir. Somebody said, silence is golden. Sometimes, most of the time, it's just plain yellow. When it comes to Jesus Christ and the Bible, and the blood, and the virgin birth, and the things like that, being silence is not golden, it's crooked, it's wicked, it's fitting on Jesus Christ. Silence is golden then, it's yellow. All right, so you're on the Lord's side, and you're going to be against that golden chest. You're on the Lord's side, throw your clothes! You women, you grab your wives with the hair of the head and get them back in the tent and get them beaten in the clothes. I do not believe in a kind of Christianity that has a moral standard. One of the complaints I have about many of the so-called modern revivals is that when it's done, just as much child delinquency. When it's over, just as much divorce. When it's over, just as much drunkenness. When it's over, just as much depravity. You listen to me. Again and again, I said to the glory of God, again and again, in many a town, I've gone to revival. And the papers have come out in shocked astonishment and said, what in the world's the matter? There hasn't been a man spent a night in jail for 2 or 3 weeks here. That's Central South Carolina. They were campaigning in Textile Hall. That was 1947, was it? And right after this one, I think. Rainbow, South Carolina. And the newspaper report came in his newspaper head and said, I've had the strangest experience today. He said, I was down in the Woolworth store. And I stopped talking to the manager and said, a boy came in. Young fellow, found out 10 years old. He said, where's the manager? He said, the manager wanted to put funds to the point that he's the important. He said, there he is. He's the important. He said, no, there he is. He's the manager. He said, no, he is. And the boy said, I'm not fooling. Just tell the manager, I won't know. Well, the store manager, son, manager, son, who is it? He said, it's 4 to 5 cents. How old are you? Well, what's the matter? I took nine packages of chewing gum off the counter, he said, I got the pay for. Well, the manager, and he was in tears. The manager said, well, that's all right, so never mind, it's all sharp, sharp, and lost. No, it's not all right, I got to pay it. And he got to take it, and he gave him the 45 cents, and watched his eyes went out. He was paying for it, he said, I don't care. He said, I wonder what happened in town. So I went down to Belk's department store. He said, the floor walker on a certain floor, I was talking to him. He said, you know what kind of thing happened here? And here came a woman in while I was there, and this woman came in, and she said, she unwrapped me. What's this? The stuff I stole off the counters here. All for the ladies ready to wear. This and this. Now, yes, sir. Good, please. I want you to take it and take it all back and so and so. And the newspaper reporter, he didn't put two and two together and come out of the forum, but he said, listen, something happened in the town. I didn't know what was happening. Night after night, 5 weeks, what was it? And I was plowing down on, right down on sin. Doesn't make anybody mad. Doesn't make anybody lie awake at night. Doesn't make anybody sleep. Doesn't scare anybody. And he said, that's the kind Moses had. See that? Besides, if you're for God, you're against sin. Wait a minute. If you're for God, you're for Moses. Now, come on, who's on the Lord's side? Moses, come up with me. Let me tell you. I believe in being the kind of Christian that takes half God. Some of you people, you talk a nice kind of religion when you're preaching. Then when you take your open, you're talking for this infidel teaching in Wake Forest College over here. I mean infidels. I mean people who do not believe in the virgin birth and say so. Do not believe in the blood atonement and say so. Do not believe in the verbal inspiration of the Bible and their own record in print and college publication for that. And I said, you talk a nice kind of gospel. You start talking about the blood and you for Jesus. You just take an offering to go the other way. You two-faced hypocrite. You're laughing. You ought to be laughing. You ought to be crying. This is a joke. You're going to meet God on this. You're going to meet God on this. Yeah. If you're for God, you're for Moses. If you're not for that crowd. That's right. Paul said, Paul said, Paul, be a follower of me as I am of Christ. You're going to be for God, and Jesus, you're going to have to be for Paul. You're going to be for God, you're going to be for Moses. Yeah. Somebody said, I was in the organization of the National Association of Evangelicals. That committee on evangelism. Dr. Bob Jones and I were there, and I just kicked out a pastor, a Presbyterian pastor. We had a revival. I was the chairman of this campaign. And I was on the committee, the chairman, and this Presbyterian pastor said, the first thing is, let's get this straight. We don't want any of this every Sunday stuff, he said. Because against God's standard of evangelism is not for evangelism. You're a lying hypocrite. You talk in a nice line, but you don't mean it. Yeah. You say another word. And here I think I'll say things I never said. I have serious doubt about the honesty and Christian integrity of any kind of fundamentalist that's not for John Rice and the Sword of the Lord. Now, anytime you find me trimming somewhere, you say so and you go on with Jesus. But until I do, the fellow that trims a little about Dr. Bob Jones or Carl McIntyre or me or somebody else that's flat out getting shot at, you don't take sides in. I have serious doubts about any real sincerity about your fundamentalism. Yeah. Let me tell you, six of my daughters are gone to Wheaton College. And I think one of the girls, they did good. They were popular. Two of them, the vice president of the student council, the highest honor could come to girl there. Libby, then a collegiate speaker, beat the team with Elizabeth, Sunday School Times man, what's his name? The girl who married, whose husband, Jamel, died down the Auckland design, the honor. That girl and my Elizabeth. We're on the big team, one over 26 teams in the big tournament for Wheaton College. Joy, the graduate class, was fourth and fifth in honors in the high in the class of 300. The graduate with the highest possible honor. My girls got along all right there. You know what made my heart sick? I can begin to point out, I begin to find now rotten places. But that young man again found that student came there. Oh, they're from the safety. They're going to be standing at William Jennings Bryan and Harry Rimmer and W.G. Riley and John Rice. Then I begin to find something sure rotten in the mark. You don't have to know her. The man who is not out and out for the men of God, who gets shot at and stand up and count him, is for the fundamentals of faith. And he's not right, no matter how pious he sounds. You know that? That's what I'm saying. That if you're for Christ and the fundamental faith, you've got to be for the Son of the Lord. And as far as I'm concerned, if you want to start one, it'll be more. I'll go for it. I'll subscribe for it and lose it. But until somebody does, you better get to the one that's right out there saying so all the time. I do not believe in the Christian integrity for the fundamentals of faith. He's not out for the folks who are getting shot at and lied on. Bob Jones University in this day, and Carl McIntyre, and the Sword of the Lord, and a few schools that are standing up and be counted right these days. Sure enough. On the Lord's side, Moses, come over to me then. That's enough. That's going to mean you're going to take sides against the real of them. That's pretty bad. Well, somebody said, but I was just high school, junior university. He did a lot for me. I was intercollegiate leader. I had a scholarship in Oratory. Then I was added the 1914 class scholarship. And then I was president of the University Christian Association. You were kind to me. Intercollegiate debater. I had no honor. He helped me. Now, English under Dr. Armstrong, the greatest Browning scholar in the world. It's nice to meet you. Oh, my school, I don't want to go, but we had Cecil DeMille over there and gave him a doctor of laws degree. He had a Jewish rabbi who thinks Jesus is the bastard son of a Jewish harlot. Had him lead in prayer.
I don't care. It's my alma mater. I love the Baylor. I couldn't give a dime to it. I'm never going to. Never going to. No. Not going to. No, sir.
I'm a feeling person who went to Raven College to do pictures and talk there. Mr. Warren Thomas and I, and the teachers in the garden, we set out to make it over and set the standards for that junior college like to the university. And some of the teachers complained. They said, we can't get our people doing work. The same experiment with Mr. Myers put so much work on them, they can't do it. Well, the president said, why don't you just turn it down? I said, we can't do it. They're there for convincing. They just make them spend all the time there working 2 hours. And one day, and in faculty meetings, sometimes we'd say, well, I'm here to do so-and-so.
And the president one day very kindly said, he said, Mr. Clement and Mr. Rice, he said, when you die, I hope you go to Baylor. In my alma mater, that's what we talk about. Let me tell you, Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. Goodbye then, old man. And you don't know what a wrench of heart that is. See, I don't have any alma mater. I was in seminary. Oh, I worked hard, learned Hebrew, strong verb, and so on so. I'm not around anymore. Maybe said I couldn't advise anybody to go there. I don't have any alma maters anymore. I'm a street kid now. It isn't easy, but Jesus said that's what I came for. Not to bring peace, but a sword. Come on, put your sword on. Those you can, I know. The Lord said, those that I prayed, God's going to kill the whole nation. I prayed out of it, I prayed. But the Lord said, you don't have vengeance on these idolaters. He said, he'll never be with us anymore. Come on, put your sword. He killed 7,000, was it? How many thousand there? And he fell with the people that day, about 3,000 men. And he said, I don't want to fight. Okay, then, don't say you're on the Lord's side. He says on the Lord's side, get your sword on. So, but I don't like Jesus. I know, you don't like Jesus, ain't it? No, you don't like Jesus. That's the Lord's way. He's on the Lord's side. Well, if you're on the Lord's side, it's like it's going to get you in trouble. All right. Even so, come, Lord. Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee. Destitute, despised, forsaken, thou from hence my all to be. Perish every fond ambition, every hope and hope I've known. Yet how rich is my condition, God and heaven are still my own. Lend me shun, and fools may hate me, and so show thy face and all is bright. Oh, God, help somebody get out on the Lord's side. And put on your soul, you have to be against idolatry, you have to be against drunkenness, you have to be against sin, you have to take time, you have to get in with Moses, you have to get in with Paul, you have to get in with the people standing for God. When Nehemiah's confessed the sins of Israel, you know what he said in Nehemiah 1st chapter? He said, Lord, we didn't hearken to thy servants, the prophets. And Daniel confessed the sins of Israel and said, oh, we sinned, we've done wickedly, we've done iniquity. We didn't hearken to thy servants, the prophets. And God complained about Israel. When I sent him to captivity, he said, I sent prophets. He said, Brother Nolan, he said, I rose up early. God said, I got a prophet early. Preachers right, you wouldn't hear them. And then, you don't hear God's preachers, then you're not on God's side. You better listen kind, find out who is standing for Christ in the Bible. You better get on his side. But you see, somebody may hit me. That's right. Somebody can throw some money, legs. Somebody called your names. Well, let's say you're unloving. Let's say you're jealous. It's okay. All right. That's the way people are talking about God's people. Come on the Lord's side. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. I want to be on the Lord's side. I'm sorry, dear Lord, I've failed so much. I want you to give me grace. I want to be out now. I want to wear the sword. I want to be against the drunkenness and idolatry and the nakedness, Lord. I want to be on your side. I want to be for the people out now for you. You remember, Lord, I call your remembrance again and again about revolution in the university, about sin among my beloved Southern Baptists whom I've loved and grieved over all these years.
about 40 seminary, and he's in college, and so many others. You know, dear Lord, I call you to remember, dear Lord, how I lost friends over Billy Graham's run with modernists, and I couldn't go with him that far. All right, Lord, please help me to be faithful. Now raise up men, friends of the Son of the Lord, and friends for the fundamentals, and it won't sell out in the ministerial association, in the denomination, or in the church budget. Lord, a lot of men here say, I'll put the Son of the Lord in the church budget. They're getting out the multiplied thousands and thousands of books and pamphlets and sending the gospel around the world, and this preacher was making a penny for himself and working day and night. Don't let alone say, I ought to put that in the sword of the Lord in every church in the home. And I ought to put the sword of the Lord in the budget and put this in the broadcast. We raise up men to be on the Lord's side and on our side. In Jesus' name, amen.